Welcome to episode 87 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on September 26, 2018. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss the topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. In this episode, while Ben was taking care of kids, Scott sat down with Paul Swider at Microsoft Ignite to discuss Azure Blockchain. Let's dive into the interview.
So, Scott, back again with the Microsoft Cloud IT... What am I with? The Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast. It's getting rough. Day three of Ignite.
I know, right?
We're sitting here with Paul Swider, and we're talking all about our raspy Ignite voices and how we're conferenced out of day three of five. So we're going to have a conversation about blockchain today and try and dial in about Azure blockchain and the use case and what's going on there. So Paul's been a big proponent of this and consuming immutable transactions within business systems, which is really awesome, particularly within the context of Dynamics 365, things like SharePoint. Like, let's build real-world systems that make better sense for users and provide better traceability. So all that being said, Paul, why don't you introduce yourself, tell people a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into it.
Sure. First of all, thanks for inviting me to be part of your podcast. So Paul Swider. I've been designing business systems pretty much my entire adult life. So I actually studied business information systems at university and then went on and, again, most of my adult life designing business information systems. I focused, by default throughout the years, a lot of my work has been focused on healthcare. And the first 10 years, I spent most of my time as a hardcore dev. So those were the early .NET years, sort of getting the world on .NET, if you remember
those years. We all have our faults.
I know, isn't that great?
So I used to be a developer.
To be a badge of honor.
Yeah, no, my very first job was onboarding ASP.NET web forms when it was in beta.
Oh, sure, yeah.
For a couple of clients. And I was doing VB.NET, so the really special kind of .NET.
I was there.
Yeah, we can commiserate about that later.
Yes, exactly. So, but that's where I came at this from, and I like to call that out because when I started really diving into the blockchain technology about a year and a half ago, it was very daunting. You know, there was a lot of hype around the technology. There wasn't a lot of published information. And so my goal at that time, what I told myself, my goal was to focus on blockchain as it would apply to me. And so that's enterprise blockchain. And so that really helped me a lot as I was trying to get through the hype and trying to figure out how I could use this technology to build enterprise systems.
So. Cool.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and/or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit.
Cool. One of the things with that is you kind of mentioned just getting into it, particularly like enterprise blockchain. And there is a lot of just stuff out there. There's always things in the news. There was an article about like IBM and Walmart the other day about we're going to use blockchain to track produce. Healthcare, obviously. There's all sorts of stuff in fintech for kind of diving in. And one of the things that, you know, I thought it'd be really helpful to talk to you about would be kind of there's all of the stuff out there about blockchain and how do you approach it and how do you go about it and where do you decide to consume it? Like there's some things where you might want to go as a developer and sit down and say, I need some JavaScript. So I'm going to write a SPA. Do I need to do React or Angular? Do I need to use jQuery or whatever JavaScript library? Or can I just write some raw JavaScript and kind of roll my own?
Sure.
And something like blockchain, is it approachable enough where people should be writing their own kind of blockchains or implementations? Or I'd imagine it's easier to consume SDKs and say, go to Azure, IBM, or whoever else and kind of roll with what they have, because at least you'd have a back-end service to help you with kind of queuing and transactional.
Sure, sure. So it's a great question. In some ways, it can be a complex answer in this. It's a little bit different than the language thing. And what I mean by that is there are folks that are using blockchain in slightly different ways in different parts of the world. Or I shouldn't say slightly, but in different ways in different parts of the world. So if I was having this conversation in Africa, for example, or Eastern Europe, to them, or many of the developers over there, they look at blockchain as an entire platform to run dApps. And they're creating decentralized applications, truly decentralized. So in that world doesn't really mix so well with the centralized model, mm-hmm. you know, in the US, right, where we want to run stuff on Azure and on AWS. So let me first by saying that, to make my friends in those parts of the world happy before we move further. So we acknowledge that, and then we acknowledge that now what we're doing is we're having this conversation in the context of the developer in our world, yep. in this part of the world. And so you're absolutely right. Right away as a developer, when we would want to make some of these decisions up front. And so when we're looking at a technology like blockchain, we would want to acknowledge that there's some different pieces to it. So it's a little unique in that way that we have the storage component, which we refer to as the distributed ledger technology, secured distributed ledger technology, right? That's probably the best simple definition for that piece of it. And then certainly we have the code piece of it. So we can add smart contracts on top of that, and that gives us the ability to execute some code on that distributed secure ledger. So in that context, sure, when we're looking at the DLT, what we might want to consider is our database consistency model, right? So as a developer, we would do this early on in our planning process. You know, in the early days, we didn't really have a lot of choices, actually. Everything we did was pretty much ACID, right? We have relational, transactional databases. And then we evolved on to Base for the big data stuff. And now where we're at today with Salt, there's a new type of database consistency. So we would start there. And then in terms of a vendor or an API for a specific blockchain, you know, absolutely. I think if we're in the enterprise, we want to build on, you know, in my case, it would be what Azure gives us for blockchain as a service, if you will.
Cool. Thank so
you.
There's definitely some architectural decisions to
there
make.
Are.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
So one of the things that's kind of new to me when I think about it is something that I can approach maybe an existing application and take a look at a piece of functionality with that and be able to maybe bolt on or grow or augment into, or is it kind of wholesale, we should really sit down and think about this before we even write our app? Like, can I start with a regular database? And
yeah.
I want to be Walmart and I want to track produce. So I can certainly write that in a relational database. We can have traditional tables and schema, and I can choose a consistency model. But when I want to add the transactional tracking of that, and like you said, the ledger to it, can I bolt that on later, or do I need to kind of go back and have a wholesale rethink about, you know, just the way I've lived my life?
Sure, sure. And gosh, I hate to answer this way, but you know, it depends, right?
So that was the answer I wanted. So it's good.
Okay. I mean, certainly we have the full spectrum, right? So we can start from the beginning and design our app truly around blockchain, or absolutely we can take advantage of some of the properties of the DLT, like the immutability properties. And so part of what makes the DLT so very secure is it is immutable, right? So it uses hash chaining, mm-hmm. if you will, to produce this immutability. And so what I like to tell people is that as somebody that came from the content services world over the last years, I really grew to like the one version of the truth statement for your content. And I like to say that blockchain gives me one version of truth for my data. And so the best use cases that we're seeing now, I should say the first use cases are around traceability, because this idea of having one version of the truth that's immutable and can't be changed is very powerful when we're talking about traceability of drugs, whether it's the FDA, mm-hmm. whether it's lettuce, whether it's, as Microsoft showed yesterday, corn, right? Whatever that is. As a matter of fact, we use it. I have a custom blockchain we've been running all summer, and we use it for traceability of donations for events that we're doing in technology events we're doing in Puerto Rico. So again, it's that one version of the truth. You can bolt that onto your application after the fact. Absolutely. It's very, very easy to do that, actually, if you wanted to kick the tires on that using Azure Blockchain.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
Cool. I'm also interested a little bit in some of the kind of real world application of this, because you hear a little bit, like you said, about articles or maybe like a customer success story from somebody like Microsoft. But one of the really exciting things to me sitting down with you was you do this day to day and you actually kind of sell this and this is the job and where it comes together. So can you just talk maybe a little bit at a high level about what you've got going on and where you found that kind of fit in within, you know, the healthcare space and what you've been doing there?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So over the past 7 or 8 years, I've been working pretty intensely with a team of folks at Dartmouth on automating and streamlining the operations side of healthcare. And so what we focus on are things like compliance, costing, forecasting, integrating with the government for payments. Payments on Medicare, payments on Medicaid, et cetera. And so what we're in the process of doing right now is porting a lot of that work into smart contracts. So a lot of the work we're doing in healthcare right now, we're not so much focused on the immutability properties of blockchain as much as we are this smart contracting piece, which in a sense has some immutability as well, because any code that I publish to the blockchain is also immutable. So I can trust the fact that nobody has altered that.
Can you explain that difference real quick? Kind of the difference between the smart contract and actual kind of storage on the back end?
Yeah. So again, one of the biggest differences is you can't change the code. And we're just not used to that in the enterprise yet. This is taking some time for me to get used to. So as it works now, we create our code and we publish it and we don't change it after that, right? So we publish our code, and we don't change the code after the fact. So this is a lot different than what we're used to in the enterprise world. I like to explain to folks that smart contracts are really nothing more than addressable code. So much like we might address a web service by, you know, ultimately by IP address and function name, we do the same by chain with blockchain, with the chain address and then the address of the code.
So a little bit, similar to consuming a web service or maybe like an API.
Exactly.
I need to target a RESTful service and I'm going to have a query string that says, give me this API. I want, 2018.09.18, and then maybe I want 2018.09.19 and go ahead and target it. Target into it that way.
Yeah, and I think probably one of the most useful pieces of information I can share with the listeners right now that might help a little bit is that one of the things Microsoft's done really well with their blockchain as a service is something called off-chaining. And so off-chaining sounds very technical, especially when you're reading about it in the blockchain world. But really all that means is we're taking a copy of the data that's on the database and we're also putting it into a SQL server or a Cosmos DB. And so in our world, that's really amazing because it allows us essentially to do what we already do as developers, right? I can have the chain part of my application where I'm storing stuff for immutability purposes, but then I have that same exact data in a SQL Server database. So the application development pattern, 90% of it could be the same, and then I just go outside of what I'm already doing and work with somebody on a smart contract.
It's giving you that SDK to effectively go ahead and have immutable storage and be able to go back and do the traceability.
Exactly.
And then run out the other side and continue just straight up CRUD or however you do it today.
Yeah.
So in the case of Cosmos, hey, I've got to go update we're consuming like a SQL API for document DB or something like that.
Yeah.
I've got to update a document. It's okay. We can actually go back and kind of view previous versions. And it's not just view the previous version. Like the power is you can actually know that version hasn't changed and it is what it is and it's forever set in stone
that way.
And be able to walk that chain.
That's right. And the off-chaining piece is huge. So when I show this to people in the blockchain community, when I'm doing a presentation to the blockchain community, they're pretty impressed. I mean, this is a really big deal to be able to and so by the way, you can spin up a blockchain in Azure. It takes about 15 minutes. So the ability to spin up a blockchain and then have that data off-chain to a SQL server, it's just mind-blowing to the blockchain purists, if you will. So if we go back, I think early on you had this question of why Azure, right? Why would we use blockchain as a service on Azure?
We're at Ignite, I have to ask the question.
No, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting because oftentimes I'm giving my presentation at a blockchain conference, and so I go in fully prepared for that question. I think it would be silly for me not to, right? To walk into a blockchain conference where a lot of these folks are truly focused on decentralized apps, and here I am coming in, as a centralized Azure cloud guy, I'm fully prepared to answer that question. And so I can tell you a couple of things that folks are interested in, including the purists in the blockchain community, is first the proof of concept. Right, so you have a lot of folks right now that are going out and getting friends and family money and startup money for these blockchain initiatives. And what I tell them is we can bring you from zero to proof of concept in 30 days. Right? And so most of the blockchain community, they've been working on projects for over a year now, right? And if there are very few that are actually starting to produce, results. So when they hear that we can take them from proof of concept, and so this is easy because we stand up the blockchain very quickly on Azure, and then we can even use something like Power Apps, right?
That's the beauty of kind of consumption
exactly.
of an API.
Exactly.
That's kind of what I was getting to in the beginning.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Roll your own versus go out and stand something up. So
These guys love that.
Can you walk me through that a little bit, like what it takes to stand up the service? So, you mentioned 15 minutes, so I've got to go out to Azure and create a resource group, and then I stand up a blockchain. Like, when I create a VM, there's a bunch of decisions I need to make.
Sure.
I got usernames, passwords, storage.
Yep.
Same thing with Cosmos. What API am I consuming? Where's it going to live in the world? What's it look like when you're standing up a blockchain service or a blockchain resource?
Very much the same way. So you'll create the resource group and the solution. It is a it does create a bunch of assets for you. So you're running the standard implementation of the Azure Workbench. You can get it up and running in 15 minutes, meaning you can fill out the form.
Yeah.
Some of the information you would require would
click
username,
deploy.
Password, database name. What's a little bit unique is you have to provide some basic information about what's called the genesis block, the starting block of the blockchain. Once you click next, then it will chug for about 15 minutes and you'll have a vanilla blockchain, just like a vanilla database. So of course, then you would go through a process of securing some ports on that blockchain, some basic configuration. But really at that point, you have your data structure up and running, as well as the ability to start to create apps. And so very quickly, what that looks like is to create an application, a smart contract application on the blockchain, you essentially need two files. There's a JSON file that defines the application, the name, the display name,
etc. Yeah, we have a little bit of declaration to go through and say, here's what the stamp is going to be to start this process.
Yeah, and then we supply the smart contract code. So smart contract code looks very much like JavaScript. The one difference is that it is a statically typed language. When you're actually looking at it, again, it looks and feels like JavaScript. And so we publish that and boom,
we have our
first application.
Is it its own implementation or is it TypeScript?
It is actually, it's an implementation called Solidity. So it's actually from a company called Consensus. Now, there are ways that you can actually create, if you're using Microsoft as a blockchain service, where you can create your own smart contracts using the language of your choice. But right now, what's baked into the Azure Workbench and what's the path of least resistance is Solidity.
So there might be a little bit of onboarding, learn a little bit of new language, new syntax, and understand
absolutely.
What goes into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. So stand up a service and run with it, and you're kind of off to the races at that point.
Yeah. And I think if I could add one more thing, it would be this. I think folks need to remember that we are early with the technology. So a lot of people are asking for use cases, and that's a really valid question. And we are starting to see use cases. The first use cases are around immutability. We're seeing that now. Microsoft showed one live here today. There was one announced with Walmart recently. Again, I've already created one on donations. I'm actually working with another client on some other food stuff. So my point here is that the tools will get better, just like they always do, right? And when that happens, we'll see what the next apps will be that make sense. And I just think that's a pattern that you and I have seen now over and over again.
Time and time again.
Right?
Here's a service.
Exactly.
I mean, that was, you know, that happens in hardware land. Here's an Apple Watch, right?
Like, right.
We don't know what it is, but it goes out there, and then 4 years later, it's a fitness device. All right, now we know
exactly
what it is. Let's dial it in and get it there. So we should see kind of the same things happening over time.
The tools are going to get much better. My prediction is that soon, you know, we'll be able to create a blockchain even faster, maybe even on a laptop, right, and a smaller footprint. The tools will get easier to use, and then it will be really, really interesting to see how people start using the technology. It's good stuff.
Hi, I'm Steve Peschke, and I'm one of the founders at Office365Mon.com. I worked at Microsoft for over 18 years, and one of the most common questions I got is, how do I know what's going on with the health of my Office 365 tenant? When there's a problem with your tenant, you need to know what's going on before your users. We help you understand not only when your tenant goes down, but how well it's performing. When you do have a problem, where do you start looking? Is it your network? Is it your tenant? Is it some feature inside of Office 365? Our network analysis features can pinpoint performance issues and help you figure out where those bottlenecks are. Sign up for a free 90-day trial today at Office365Mon.com. Stay in the know and stay in control with Office365Mon.com.
Cool. Anything else you think we kind of missed or didn't touch on?
Oh, I think we could probably go on and on. I think it would be nice to end in this way. I am very interested in seeing where ML and blockchain converge. So I'm starting to see hints of that and whispers of that in the Boston area, right? So there are a lot of meetups and user groups around MIT and Harvard where people are looking at healthcare research and blockchain. And there's some interesting work that's starting to happen and some interesting concepts that people are kicking around. And again, I'm not quite sure what that would look like. We're a little bit early.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird. I'm trying to think about it in the back of my head. You know, machine learning because typically we use that to interrogate existing data sets. And like where does that immutability and traceability play into that?
Well, here's a really great example. We actually saw it yesterday during the keynote, because in the demonstration where they were examining the corn, essentially what that was a really high-speed camera, right, that's able to snap
pictures.
Yep, and we're
doing vision analysis.
And what we're doing, exactly, we're using cognitive services to do a quick zap of the corn, but then we need to learn from it, right? Eventually what we want to do is we want to save that data set and we want to learn from it. Was I right when I looked at that piece of corn? So that application on the surface, it might look simple, but we've got a lot of stuff going on there. First of all, we're storing it on the blockchain for the traceability purposes. We've got the high-speed camera lens that's zooming in on, you know, billions of pieces of corn every whatever hour or day, or et cetera. And then the machine learning that's correcting itself when it makes a mistake about whether a grain of corn or whatever it is was truly infested or not. And so that's a really simple example. But I think we might be able to grow on that more, you know, especially as we look at healthcare and health sciences. So we'll see. I'll leave it there. That's a bold prediction, but I'll leave it
all
there.
Right, we'll come back and talk in a year.
Exactly. Maybe two.
All right.
On that one.
Well, thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it. Where can people find you? Are you on Twitter, internet?
PaulSwider.com and PSwider, or some people say PSwider, PSWIDER on Twitter.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing and all your work. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.